All right, you're all fantasy football fans, so you should all listen up. There's a new app that people are loving, including me and Evan. It's called the Draft app. It's season long, but no management. You just set it and forget it. Every week, you get a chance to have a new team. You guys know the benefits of this. No trades, no waiver wire. You don't have to set your lineup. What I love about it is they have new drafts that start like every couple minutes. And it's snake drafts. You can play on the Draft app or right from your computer if you want to do it on your laptop. Playdraft.com, whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a best ball draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code FEAST. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using our promo code FEAST on your first deposit. The deal is just go to the App Store, search Draft, or go to playdraft.com. Come play free with promo code FEAST.
It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eating Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. We are presented by betonline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast podcast with the best odds, fast payouts. Make sure you use that awesome code BIGFEAST over at betonline.ag. It is week number 3 in the NFL. And you're starting to get a little bit of a sense, a little bit of a feel for what your fantasy team will be like this year. 2-0, what? 2-0. Anyway, I'm fired up to get Evan's insight like we do each and every week. By the way, I know a lot of you like playing video games as well, like Madden. All you need to do is use the code COLLEGE25 over at BetDSI. Forward that to me, ross@rostucker.com. You might win this week's Madden. I've already had 2 winners. Got several more to give out. But I don't want to mess around. I don't want to waste too much time. Let's get into the games. He is Evan Silva from RotoWorld. Evan, thank you for joining us. As always, check him out on Twitter, @EvanSilva. I'm @RossTuckerNFL on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and whatever.
Next meal.
All right, Evan, let's start with the Thursday nighter. I know you, I've already seen on Twitter, you wrote up your report on the Rams and the Niners, but I like the audio version. Thank you. What do you got?
Really like Carlos Hyde in this spot. Rams have really struggled against the run so far. Carlos Hyde has been sensational. Didn't have the production to show it in week 1 against Carolina. Did have it in week 2 on the road against Seattle. I mean, that is the worst possible spot for a running back on the road in Seattle, and they crushed it. I mean, they were opening caverns of space in the Seahawks defensive front. It looks like they are getting their running game going, which I think, I mean, this has a chance to be a special year for Carlos Hyde if he can stay healthy. Contract year for him. You know, under Kyle Shanahan, he has a very good track record of having good running games. They have a bunch of maulers in the trenches. So I love Carlos Hyde. I think that Pierre Garçon is an okay volume-based play. Didn't come through last week, but has a commanding lead in terms of targets on the 49ers. So he's a volume play. He's never been a big touchdown scorer. That's who Pierre Garçon is. And then nobody really else to talk about. I mean, Marquise Goodwin, you know, people have tried to talk themselves into him. Just not a productive player. I'm sure that he will, you know, rip a long gain at some point this season, but, you know, definitely not somebody that you can bank on. On the Rams side, I love how much they are involving Todd Gurley in the passing game. I think that it has really helped to unlock him. It's a very similar situation to Melvin Gordon after his rookie season. He had really struggled as a rookie, but then they started, you know, Danny Woodhead went out, and the same thing has happened with Todd Gurley and Lance Dunbar. You know, they lose their passing game specialist and they turn to this guy to become a true every down player. And Todd Gurley is really, he's delivering in that, with that increased role. I think he's fourth among running backs in receiving yards right now. It's just another way to get him in space and matched up on linebackers, because they don't have great run blocking to be able to get him in space consistently as like a between the tackles runner. But when you get him high percentage throws, you know, get him out in the flats, he can do a lot more. And of course it spikes his fantasy production like none other. So very good situation for him. His schedule starts to get brutal after the next 2 weeks. They play, this week, this is a pretty good matchup on paper, although San Francisco's played well in run defense so far. But, you know, definitely not something that we're fearing. And then the week after that, it is at Dallas for Todd Gurley. And then there's just a brutal stretch, and you can read in my write-up about that. So he is someone that I would consider trading high, but at the same time, it's also very hard to find players that are getting running backs that are getting his kind of usage. And he has been, you know, he had a bunch of injuries at Georgia, but he has stayed healthy at the pro level. So he's got a pretty good durability track record. Jared Goff, he's like a two quarterback league option. Cooper Kupp, I think, could be decent here, but really not someone that I'm excited to play. This game has the second lowest total of any on the week three slate. So really just looking at the big hitters, you know, Carlos Hyde and Todd Gurley and a little bit of Pierre Garçon.
Let's get to the Sunday morning game. It is across the pond. It's the Ravens and the Jags, and yours truly, Evan, will be there. I'm even having a meet and greet happy hour at the Monkey Puzzle on Friday from 4 to 5:30 in London. So I cannot wait to drink some beers with some London dudes. Should be awesome. Hopefully some of you guys can attend. As for the game itself, what jumps out at you here? Obviously, I know from your Twitter you've been big on Buck Allen lately.
I like or I'm jealous, I should say, of the people that will get to hang out with you in London. Also for you to be making that that trip across the pond. That's really cool, man. And I hope that people go out and hang out with you, because you know you're a fun dude to hang out with in real life. I really like the Ravens defense against Blake Bortles. I mean, this is, you know, one of the just very, very obvious. The Ravens defense has been nails so far, racking up a ton of sacks. They have, let me see if I say this right. They have 8 interceptions, and the next closest NFL team has 3. So they are making a lot of plays. And
you know what they are, Evan? You know what they are?
Go ahead.
They're our DraftKings defense of the week. Boom! How could they not be, by the way? I'm going to be at the game. You mentioned it, the 8 picks, the turnovers. You look at it, maybe they're a little pricey at $3,900 or whatever, but a lot of times in life, you get what you pay for. It would seem like the weather's always the same in London. It's like a little overcast, a little rainy. It just seems very conducive to Bortles coughing it up, a bunch of turnovers. I'm with you, and everybody else should be with the Ravens as their defense of the week. If you want to spend that much, get to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code FEAST to play in DraftKings' free pick'em contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. That's promo code FEAST to compete for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. Contest totally free to enter. Give it a shot. DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So, yeah, I love it. Already, the game I'm at, we already gave you the DraftKings defense of the week. What else you got?
Yeah, don't want anything to do with any of the Jaguars' pass catchers. Leonard Fournette is, you know, purely a volume play. That will be there for him. It's not a good matchup, but he's going to get the ball a lot. On the Ravens side, the Jaguars defense is really good too. You know, this is just, it's not a pretty game from any angle. Jeremy Maclin's running a ton of slot routes. I mean, he's the Ravens slot receiver right now. And that's the place to go after the Jaguars. Now, the Jaguars do have a good slot corner. Aaron Colvin is solid, but you want to avoid those perimeter cornerbacks for the Jaguars. I would have no problem dropping Mike Wallace at this point. I mean, he's not even getting as much opportunity as Breshad Perriman. Just dead weight on your roster. Don't want like wide receiver four and or wide receiver five and wide receiver six plays. You know, taking up any roster space on my season long teams. Would rather have like backup running backs on my bench who, if the starter gets hurt, you know, this guy suddenly has a ton of value. I don't want anything to do with guys like Mike Wallace. The tight end, Ben Watson, he looked sensational last week. I mean, I was watching that game on Sunday, and I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, Ben Watson is explosive. Coming off of his torn Achilles at age 36, he turns 37 later this year. I mean, he's just a marvel, and he's a fantasy starter against the Jags, who, I mean, in their cover three, they will give up production to tight ends. They're not going to worry very much about Ben Watson. You know, they're going to be worried about Mike Wallace and Perriman getting behind them. And this should be another spot where Ben Watson is able to eat up catches. He's a fantasy starter. And so, you know, if you lost Greg Olsen, for instance, you know, Ben Watson is a very good option.
Yeah, dude, the guy's a freak. I mean, you know, I play with him in New England. Yeah. Total freak of nature. Rippled abs, like he just looks like you're supposed to look. And I played in a game where he caught Champ Bailey from behind and across the field. Not only from behind, but across the field as well. He's a freak. Let's move on to the next game. I've been curious to get your thoughts on this one. It is the Broncos and the Bills. And I feel like we need to talk about, number one, Trevor Siemian and the Broncos offense, but then also this Bills defense a little bit, Evan.
Yes, the Bills defense has performed better than I anticipated entering the season. You know, we talk about how defenses year to year really do not have a lot of carry, or they have a lot of carryover, but there will be defenses that do not carry over in terms of their performance. And the Bills have not, they were not a good defense under Rex Ryan. And they have been a good defense through two games under Sean McDermott, who, of course, is a defensive mind. He's the former Panthers defensive coordinator, spent a bunch of times as a defensive backs coach in Philadelphia. You know, he's a good coach, and they're playing disciplined, and you know they're maximizing their talent, and you know, going to the Ralph is never easy, so. We've seen fireworks so far from the Broncos offense. I am interested to see how, if that carries over into week three. I'm skeptical because of how well the Bills defense has played, because of how difficult it is to score points up in Buffalo. Trevor Siemian, to me, he's been awesome, but he's also had just a lot of good things are going for him. You know, he's only 17th in the NFL in passing yards. It's not like he's ripping off 350-yard passing days. He's throwing a lot of touchdowns because when they have been inside the red zone, they have been super, super efficient. Trevor Siemian has attempted five passes inside the 10-yard line. Four have gone for touchdowns. You compare or contrast that to Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott. They have combined for 15 throws inside the 10-yard line. They have completed just two for two touchdowns. So, you know, it's just a reminder that when we're looking at, you know, our results through 2 weeks, they can be very skewed just by what has occurred in small samples. And that is not to take anything away from Trevor Siemian, who's much better than, I mean, I expected to be coming out of Northwestern. Anybody expected to be coming out of Northwestern. He wasn't just a seventh round pick. He was like one of the latest seventh round picks, just a total flyer and a huge hit for John Elway because Paxton Lynch looks like a bust so far. But Trevor Siemian is going to keep them in the mix. C.J. Anderson has been great as well. Volume monster. Jamal Charles does have 10 touches in each of the Broncos' first two games, but Jamal Charles or CJ Anderson has been a true workhorse. He is second among all NFL running backs in snaps played, behind only Ty Montgomery right now. And so, you know, you just keep riding that wave. Now, I think it's fair to question CJ Anderson's longevity and whether he will hold up. he is never at the college level, you know, over a 7-year existence as a college and pro football player, he has never reached 850 yards in a season. So, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to entertain sell high offers in season long leagues with CJ Anderson. But, you know, usually when I have guys like this that are doing well in what has been a good offense and are just getting a ton of volume, just want to ride them and, you know, put those fantasy points on my team, as opposed to, you know, trying to get cute and trade them away, because they're not easy to find. And if CJ Anderson stays healthy, he's going to be a league winner. Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, you know, just very easy to analyze pretty much every week because they're not competing with anybody else really for targets. And so that is going to make them floor plays each week, safe floor plays. And I think that they have enough upside here against the rookie Tre'Davious White and E.J. Gaines, you know, the Rams cast off. I think one of them has a big game. I don't know who it will be. You know, that will always be our difficult week-to-week conundrum with them. Last week it was Emmanuel Sanders, of course. You know, maybe the pendulum switches back to Demaryius Thomas. Either way, I like both of them in fantasy. On Buffalo's side, you know, the Broncos, it looks like they fixed their run defense. That was a problem for them all last year, and they eliminated the Cowboys running game in week two. And in week one, they defended the Chargers running game very well. So the early returns on the moves that they've made up front have been, you know, positive, and getting back Derek Wolf at relatively good health has also certainly helped them. So it's not a great matchup on paper for LeSean McCoy, but he's getting a ton of work. You can always hang your hat on that. I kind of wonder if this is an upset spot for the Bills. I think that the Broncos are clearly the better team so far, but you know, the Broncos coming off that huge win over the Cowboys, now going all the way across the country to Buffalo, where it's always difficult to play, you know, and if the Bills do pull this upset, is probably going to be on LeSean McCoy's back. So there's enough there for me to have a good level of confidence in LeSean McCoy. Tyrod Taylor, I think, is a little bit interesting. He was terrible last week, but this is another offense that has crazy, just wild home road splits dating back to the beginning of last season. Tyrod Taylor has thrown 14 of his 19 touchdown passes in home games. The Bills have averaged over 30 points per game in home games during that stretch. And the Broncos, because they play so much man coverage, can sometimes be vulnerable to dual threat quarterbacks, you know, because the dudes are running out and trying to cover people, and they're not as worried about the quarterback. So I think that Tyrod Taylor is a little bit sneaky as like a long shot daily fantasy play this week. I liked him in week one in a sort of similar situation against the Jets. The Jets are a man coverage team. And he finished as a top 10 fantasy quarterback. Obviously the Broncos have a better defense than the Jets, but it's similar sort of concept. So, I would start him in two quarterback leagues. I would not be looking to start him in one quarterback leagues. I don't think he's a top 12 option, but he does have top 12, top 10 upside if everything kind of moves in the right direction. Last year, the Broncos allowed the fourth most rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks. Charles Clay also would fit in with Tyrod Taylor, and the Broncos, as we've discussed, you know, countless times, there are openings for tight ends in their defense to have big days. We saw Jason Witten go 10-97-1 against them last week. So Charles Clay is a fantasy starter. You know, don't want anything to do with Zay Jones or Jordan Matthews, and we can move forward.
Let's get to the Saints and the Panthers. It's an interesting one to me, Evan. I think both these offenses have been disappointing thus far. What does it mean in this game?
Yeah, it's getting to be now or never time, I think, for Cam Newton. The good news is that everybody's down on him. So I think that, I don't know, you know, he's someone that I'm going to have in DFS, and I would play him in season long. But I agree with the concerns he's going up against the worst defense in the league. And, you know, can he get it moving? You know, it's hard to say, but the probability of it occurring, of him getting it rolling, would certainly increase based on his week three opponent. Christian McCaffrey has struggled to run between the tackles so far, but this is a great matchup for him to have a really big game. I don't think that people are, well, I don't know. We'll see what people start talking about as the week progresses. We're still very early in the week. It's Wednesday morning as we record this. But, I mean, I haven't heard a lot of buzz so far about Christian McCaffrey, and this could be a blow-up game for him. I mean, the Saints just hemorrhage receiving points to receiving backs, and he should have more room to run. They've really struggled to run block. I mean, Jonathan Stewart doesn't have a great yards per carry average either. I would be firing Christian McCaffrey wherever I have had him for sure. Same with Jonathan Stewart. Wish we would have seen him do a little bit more receiving work last week, because things like that would raise his floor. But it's going to be a reminder that he has a very low floor because he doesn't get any receiving work. So when he has 12 carries for 40 yards, you know, and he doesn't score a touchdown, that hurts you. With that said, he's getting a lot of work, man, and he's going against a really bad defense. The loss of Greg Olsen is another factor working against Cam, but it does have the potential to work in the favor of Kelvin Benjamin, who, it should be noted, will probably be chased around the field by Marshawn Lattimore, the Saints rookie, who played a big role in shutting down Brandon Cooks last week. So that may create an opening for Devin Funchess, who's playing a ton of snaps. He saw 7 targets last week. He caught 4 for 68. He's a big dude. He's facing the Saints, you know. So he definitely has some sleeper appeal this week. I'm still, you know, firing Kelvin Benjamin against the Saints, of course, and you know, betting that he will beat up on the rookie who played a great game last week, and I expect him to have a great career in the NFL. But Kelvin Benjamin is a monster. Got back on track last week with 6 catches for 77 yards. There's been some buzz on Ed Dixon. No thanks for me. The Panthers have like the best defense in the NFL through 2 weeks, and so none of the matchups here are going to be good for any of the Saints players. And what you are banking on is, you know, how good Drew Brees has been historically. He's been a top 10. He was the quarterback 16 in week 1 against the Vikings on the road, and he was the quarterback 4 last week in fantasy against the Patriots. He's a top 10 fantasy quarterback. The matchup is difficult, but I still think we can get, you know, 250, 260 yards and a couple of touchdowns out of him. Revenge game for Ted Ginn. You know, I'm not really going to be chasing that. These Panthers cornerbacks are way better than people thought, I think. James Bradbury and Daryl Worley are great. They've got Captain Munnerlyn in the slot. Like, they're getting pressure up front, and they have a crazy athletic linebacker trio. This is a legit, really, really good defense. They've allowed, I think, 9 points through 2 weeks. They're not going to keep that up, but they are going to be a good defense, a defense to fear all year. Michael Thomas, he went 5 for 60 and 5. He had 2 games against the Panthers last year. He went 5 for 60 without a touchdown in one of them, and 5 for 60 with a touchdown in the other one. You know, he's Drew Brees' number one receiver, and that's why you're playing him in season-long leagues. He doesn't stand out to me as like a great, you know, over-the-top, overwhelmingly awesome, you know, DFS sort of play, but I think he can do enough to justify putting him in your season-long lineup. Kobe Fleener, he's going to continue to get the opportunity until Willie Snead comes back. We will get one more week of this, and that, you know, keeps Kobe. I mean, Kobe Fleener has been great. He scored a touchdown in each of the 3 games that Willie Snead has missed over the past 2 seasons, and when you get a touchdown from your tight end, you're all set. You know, that's pretty much all you need. And he ends up being a top 12 or top 15 play on the week. I think that that should cover it for both the Saints and Panthers.
Okay, what about the city where you reside, where the Chicago Bears, still going with Mike Glennon, host the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have been a little disappointing on the offensive side of the ball in terms of their big guns. It was Martavis Bryant time this past Sunday against the Vikings, Evan.
Yeah, number two receivers against the Vikings. You know, I guess we can talk a little bit more. Well, let's talk about that a little bit more when we get to the Vikings. Steelers, Bears. I think that this is, you know, and we talked about this in week one. When teams go to Soldier Field, you have to kind of lower expectations. The defense is underrated. The game's like they're slow and lower scoring than usual. But, you know, Roethlisberger was good on the road in his first road game. He's a top 10 fantasy quarterback through a couple of weeks. He's much less likely to have a big game, but I think he can have a solid enough game to justify having him in your season-long lineup. Antonio Brown, you know, the Bears have a history of limiting number ones. If you were betting on Antonio Brown consistently over a long stretch, you would be right much, much, much more than you would be wrong. And when you look at, like, the Bears cornerback situation, I mean, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't inspire fear. And we saw Mike Evans go for, I think, 8 for 97 and 1 last week against the Bears. So he's Antonio Brown. He's Martavis Bryant. You know, Martavis Bryant is going to be much more up and down than Antonio Brown. I would keep firing those guys every week. Le'Veon Bell is off to a slow start, but the touches are definitely going to be there. So, he's going to get it going. I mean, this is an offensive line that returns all five starters, and he's got a few weeks of practice under his belt, and he's going to get it going. The Bears do have a good defense, so I'm not sure that Le'Veon is going to like shred this week, but you know that he's going to get it going. I have full confidence. Kendall Wright did go from a slot receiver to a full-time receiver in week two, and and he had 10 targets for and 7 catches on 10 targets. Now, remember from week one, Kendall Wright had 4 targets in the final 12 minutes of the game. So now we're looking at 14 targets in a 5-quarter stretch. So Kendall Wright is going to – the volume is going to be there, especially when he's getting the snaps. And he became a full-time receiver last week, which is a very good – a very good development for him. He's a PPR option, and he should be owned in all PPR leagues. Who else we got for the Bears? Oh, Jordan Howard. I mean, this is just a nightmare situation for him. You know, I guess people who took him in the second round or the first round or whatever, you know, I guess you got to keep playing him, but good run defense, losing a ton of snaps. You know, he's been a train wreck as a receiver. Tarik Cohen is going to be the better PPR play. And with Jordan Howard, I mean, I think we have to downgrade him to a guy who just you're hoping for a touchdown from each week. And then who else is even on the Bears? Oh, Zach Miller. Zach Miller is worth, he's a fine streamer against the Steelers. The Steelers so far have been pretty good against tight ends. But they've also faced some anemic offenses. Of course, the Bears would probably fall into that category as well. But Zach Miller is running a pass route on 82% of his snaps. He's a wide receiver in this offense, and the reason that he is playing wide receiver is because the Bears don't have very many wide receivers. So I think that Zach Miller makes a lot of sense from an opportunity standpoint. And then I think that pretty much wraps it up for the Bears. I mean, I have no interest in talking about like Josh Bellamy or Deontay Thompson. I guess Marcus Wheaton might come back this week. I don't, You know, we how many, even in Pittsburgh, how many times have we talked about Marcus Wheaton might come back this week? You know, it's just, it's annoying. And so let's wait until he actually does get in the lineup, and we can talk about him then.
Anything else for the Steelers? I mean, I know you mentioned he's Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about everybody.
All right. Atlanta and Detroit.
Yeah, second highest total on the week three slate. And this should, I mean, you want exposure to this game. Stafford has been awesome. I did not expect him to play this well through a couple of games. I mean, in against the Giants on the road and then versus the Cardinals, you know, I did not expect him to emerge from those two games as a top six fantasy quarterback. So he's just playing at a very, very high level. You know, they have more weapons than ever. All these guys are healthy. Ebron is healthy. You know, they've got Galladay on the outside. He adds a presence that they lacked last year. Marvin Jones got off to a really hot start last season. But then, he dealt with a ton of injuries and he was useless the rest of the way in fantasy football. And Golden Tate is a baller. So, and they got Theo Riddick and Amir Abdullah who can both catch passes. So this offense right now looks really, really good. And, you know, facing the Falcons in a potential shootout, I think that you want to, you know, you want to be starting these guys. Ebron is a fantasy starter this week. Theo Riddick is a fantasy starter. You look at how the Falcons just get smashed by receiving backs constantly. Golden Tate is definitely a fantasy starter every single week, and especially in what should be an up-tempo game like this. Pro Football Focus's Pat Thorman has talked about how the Lions are using a lot more no huddle. And so this can be like an up-tempo sort of, you know, Sacramento Kings versus Phoenix Suns sort of matchup. And I like guys on both sides, you know. I would say that the matchups that stand out most on paper, and this doesn't mean that they're better plays than guys like Golden Tate, et cetera, but Theo Riddick and Eric Ebron really stand out the most. On the Falcons side, going to Ford Field, I would be very optimistic about the Lions offense. And I know that the Lions are another team that has gotten off to a hot start defensively after playing terrible defense last year. But I'm not really buying into that. You know, they faced a terrible Giants offense, and they also faced 37-year-old Carson Palmer during a game where the Cardinals lost David Johnson during the game. I think that the Lions have played well, but from a forward-thinking standpoint, I'm not thinking like, oh man, this is a shutdown defense. So Julio Jones is going to match up with Darius Slay. I think Julio Jones gets the better of him. I think that Mohamed Sanu gives you a shot to rack up, you know, some catches, but that's really all he does. He has no red zone targets so far, and he has zero targets of 20 plus yards downfield. So guys like that don't really give you upside in fantasy. They can be useful at times in PPR during bye week crunches, but we are not to that point where we need to really start considering Mohamed Sanu, even in a potentially up-tempo game like this. Austin Hooper had two targets in week one, had a monster game, had two targets in week two, did nothing. If you're going to try to get into the mind of Steve Sarkisian and look at, you know, what is the area in the Lions defense where we can have the most success attacking, you know, it's probably not Darius Slay. It's probably not any of the cornerbacks. Quandre Diggs, their slot corner, has been excellent so far. It's probably not their run defense, which was the strength of their defense last year and has been good so far this year. So the weakness in the Lions defense is their linebacker core in coverage. These linebackers have been targeted 18 times so far, 15 completions against them. Austin Hooper is going to be out there. That's one thing we know. He's playing about 80% of the snaps. Just the targets have not been there so far. But you know, if this is a, you know, this is the sort of game that sets up for him to see elevated usage. So I like him. Taylor Gabriel, you know, just not playing. He plays about half the snaps. He's seen 3 and 4 targets in the first two games. He's got big playability. He can definitely rip one, but he's got a really, really low floor. And, you know, I think that a lot of his production last year was manufactured by the play caller, and now the play caller has changed. Devontae Freeman jumped way in front of Tevin Coleman last week. That was nice to see for anybody who used, you know, a first or borderline first round pick on Devontae Freeman. That's very good news. Tevin Coleman is going to go back to what he was last year, which is a guy that, you know, you're considering as a flex play each week, but, you know, not necessarily someone that, you know, you can rely on each week as long as Devonta Freeman is healthy.
I love it. Let's get to Cleveland and Indianapolis. I don't know if they still are, but for a while the Browns were favored. The game is in Indy. And I got to tell you, I was disappointed, very disappointed Sunday, Evan, by Dante Moncrief. Very disappointed. And yeah, I would also say I thought Jacoby Brissett was okay. You know, I thought he was okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's a poised dude. You know, he's big and strong. He made good decisions until that last pick. What did you think of Carson Palmer?
I thought he made a horrible decision with the interception from Malik Hooker. I think that was at the end of the half, but he's got plenty of zip on his ball. I mean, anything about him being done is dumb because he threw a bunch of deep outs to the opposite, you know, the opposite sideline from the opposite hash. I mean, I don't see an issue with his arm strength, and he's generally still pretty accurate. I just thought the offensive line isn't protecting him all that well, and the you know, he had a terrible decision on that pick. But other than that, I mean, I don't know what happened on the fade between him and Larry Fitzgerald, but I would expect those guys to complete that. And J.J. Nelson should have been able to get his second foot down. That would have been another passing touch. I mean, he very easily could have had like 400 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Veld here was getting walked back. Like, that was what is
yeah. That? Well, he kept getting beat inside too. He doesn't look that comfortable to me on the right side. You know, he's been playing left for a while now.
All right. Well, I guess we're talking about Colts and Browns, but I wanted to pick your brain because I knew you were at that game. Yeah, Brissett did. I mean, he handled himself, you know, very well. He got the ball to Jack Doyle. So that is something that can give you some optimism about Jack Doyle. I don't really know what to do with the receivers. You know, I'm sure that T.Y. Hilton at some point during Luck's absence is going to make a big play. But I don't, you know, he hasn't shown even like a good floor. He hasn't hit 60 yards yet in a game. He has no touchdowns. So, you know, and I own him in a couple spots. And each week, like, he's on the fringes of guys that I'm considering. He just has not shown enough with these rotating quarterbacks so far. Moncrief is a train wreck, and, you know, you drop him. The RBs are rotating. Frank Gore was lucky to fall in the end zone last week. He only got 14 touches. They're using a bunch of Robert Turbin. Robert Turbin isn't getting actual touches, but he's playing a lot. And that cuts into Frank Gore's usage. Marlon Mack's usage was scaled back last week. And he finished with, I think, -3 yards on 6 carries. In the first game, Marlon Mack finished with 24 yards on 10 carries, and he had a 24-yard run. So he's been super, super inefficient, and he's not going to earn more playing time, you know, being that inefficient, you know, in the foreseeable future. So I think that pretty much covers the Colts. The Browns, I think that DeShone Kizer is a sneaky guy to have a big game against the Colts. The Colts, you know, DeShone Kizer's kind of playing style is to throw the ball vertically and challenge defenses deep. And guess where the Colts have been getting gashed? I mean, the Colts have given up the second most 20-plus yard completions through two games. And, I mean, I don't think that that is going to change. Now, DeShone Kizer was terrible last week, and that's not really surprising on the road at Baltimore. But now he's going to be facing the Colts. And so I would start him in two quarterback leagues. I think he has some DFS appeal. We have seen that he has a big ceiling or a good ceiling because he's going to be cheap. And so he can smash his cost because he was a top 12 fantasy quarterback in week one against the Steelers. And he can run the ball. You know, he's got 5 rushing attempts in each of the first 2 games. So I think that he's a guy that is worth serious discussion this week. Browns lose Corey Coleman. That stinks. But I think that Rashard Higgins, the guy who they called up from the practice squad, a guy who has been a favorite of Matt Harmon since he came out of the draft. He's a route technician. He's not a great athlete, but he's playing the slot. He played 90% of his snaps in the slot last year. He's like a serious threat to lead the team in catches the rest of the way. Kenny Britt is Dwayne Bowe version 2. The tight ends are rotating. You know, Njoku is going to be a monster in the NFL, but he's sharing time with your boy DeValve. And both of those guys, I hope that they can get both of those guys on the field together. Those guys are both amazing athletes. They've both made big plays through a couple of games. So I hope that, you know, especially with the wide receiver crisis that they have right now, I hope they can find ways to use both of them. But I don't think you can really use them in fantasy, even against the Colts right now. This Isaiah Crowell should pick it up. We knew he was going to start slow against the Steelers and then against the Ravens. You know, that is just not a good way to start the season for any running back. And now he goes up against the Colts, who, you know, to their credit, have played good run defense so far, but they also haven't faced the greatest run defense or run game units. Last week they played the Cardinals, and then the week before that they played Todd Gurley. The Rams really struggled to run block in that game, and Todd Gurley had a couple of big runs called back. So this was, I think that this is a bounce back spot for Isaiah Crowell, and he has a great schedule over the next 3 weeks. If you need running back help and you're looking for somebody maybe to buy low, Isaiah Crowell makes a lot of sense.
How about Bucks Vikings? Obviously, the Vikings offense, totally different unit without Sam Bradford, and his status as of Wednesday at 9:58 a.m. Eastern, still up in the air. I would not expect him to play, but it's up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, I can't analyze the Vikings at all right now. So we're going to have to move forward with their opponent. I'm blanking on who their opponent is here.
Buccaneers.
Yeah. I mean, the Vikings have a great defense, man. And I wouldn't want to be starting Jameis Winston this week in season long. Mike Evans has a very tough road against, you know, Rhodes closed Xavier Rhodes. Look at the number one receiver so far to have faced the Vikings. Antonio Brown didn't do much. Michael Thomas didn't do much. Those guys are first-round fantasy picks. And Rhodes closed is shutting those guys down. So that's concerning for Mike Evans. You know, I own him in season-long leagues, and I'm still going to start him, but I'm hoping he can, you know, kind of luck his way into a touchdown and, you know, maybe 5 catches for 60 or 70. What it does do is make the other receiver more interesting, which would be DeShone Jackson. And, you know, DeShone Jackson, anytime that he's in a great spot like this, I'm playing him in daily fantasy for sure on tournament teams. Trey Waynes is, I mean, the Vikings need to try to, you know, they need a better option. And that's why they traded for Tremaine Brock at final cuts. And I think that we will start to see Tremaine Brock pretty soon, but hopefully not before DeShone Jackson toasts this guy. I mean, Trey Waynes, like, he ran a 4.38 coming out of Michigan State. He doesn't get close to the ball. I mean, he doesn't play that fast at all. Martavis Bryant was just dog-walking him last week. It didn't matter if it was a crossing route or a deep route. You know, Martavis only ended up for four targets, but he had three catches for 91 and a touchdown. Trey Waynes so far has been targeted 10 times, has allowed 150 yards and a touchdown, according to Pro Football Focus. So I think DeSean Jackson can do some things this week. Cameron Brate, it was a little concerning, and the game script was so bad. I mean, the Bucs just trounced the Bears. It was 29-7. You know, Peyton Barber comes in and gets 10 carries and mop-up duty. It just was not, you know, it's not a game where we can be like, all right, well, you know, these are our full-on takeaways from this offense and usage takeaways because of the game script and how out of hand it was. The Bears just never even stood a chance in the game. But it was concerning that Cameron Brate played fewer snaps than O.J. Howard. That was concerning. So, until we see a game that goes somewhat normally or is competitive with the Buccaneers, I don't think that I want anything to do with Cameron Brate. I want to see it before I invest any money or fantasy starts or whatever into Cameron Brate. And that pretty much wraps up Chakwes Rogers, the volume is going to be there. If the game would have been close, he would have had more than 19 touches. And this game should be closer. Even if Sam Bradford doesn't play, I mean, I don't think the Bucs are going to go blow out the Vikings. So we should continue to get a lot of work from Jacquizz Rodgers. He's not going to average 7 yards per carry. He's not going to average 5 yards per carry. He's probably going to average 3.5 yards per carry, but he's going to get a lot of run. And he was a guy that we could get late in drafts. And, you know, he's a fantasy starter for us. Until Doug Martin returns, Doug Martin will be back in week 5.
Curious to get your thoughts on this next one. It's the Texans and the Patriots. We saw Deshaun Watson start against the Bengals. Not a huge day for anybody fantasy-wise. And then the Patriots offense got back on track against the Saints, but they're a little beat up, and the Texans' defense is not the Saints' defense.
Right. The Texans' defense is not the Saints' defense.
You making fun of me? I'm just trying to lead you into your thoughts, dude. So I came up with something. I was like, all right, and the Saints, you know, come on, dude, just say it. Just give me the info.
I know. Patriots against the Texans. The Patriots are really hard to talk about right now because there are so many injury things that we just don't know, you know. So I don't really know even what to say about them, because our outlooks for, you know, certain guys are dependent on what is going on with the other guys in the offense. So, and I hate to do this with a team like the Patriots because there are so many fantasy plays, you know, on their roster, but I really don't even expect to have a, you know, clarity on what's going on with their skill position players until Sunday morning. So, you know, we could maybe do this podcast like even on Saturday and we still wouldn't be able to talk about the Patriots. The Texans, you know, Deshaun Watson has been awful so far. And he's like a 2-quarterback league option where you are hoping that he runs for something to give you fantasy points because he doesn't have NFL caliber arm strength. He does not have NFL caliber accuracy. He plays behind a bad offensive line, but he also holds on to the ball too long and he panics under pressure. I mean, he's a long way off from being an NFL passer. With that said, I mean, all right, first of all, I couldn't believe what the Bengals did in the second or during that drive where they wound up getting the field goal to kind of ice their win over the Bengals, where they just left Adam Jones in one-on-one coverage against DeAndre Hopkins and just let Deshaun Watson throw the ball to him, like play pitch and catch, like Deshaun Watson was back at Clemson with Mike Williams. You know, that I don't know how can you justify that to yourself? And that is not something that Bill Belichick is going to do against DeAndre Hopkins. I would expect the Patriots to take away DeAndre Hopkins, to go to great lengths to do it, because the Texans don't have anything else imposing in their offense. Their tight ends are all concussed. Maybe Will Fuller will be back this week. I doubt he'll play a full complement of snaps. They cut Jalen Strong. I mean, they have nothing. It was good, nice to see Deontay Foreman, the rookie, get a healthy dose of work and arguably outplay Lamar Miller last week. I don't think that Dante Foreman is a fantasy starter or even like an option yet, but I do think that he could potentially, his role could grow significantly. Because Lamar Miller just has not been getting the job done for the Texans since they signed him. So Foreman is a guy that you definitely want to have on your bench. And I think that pretty much takes care of the Texans. It stinks that we can't even talk about the Patriots. I mean, Burkhead is hurt. Gronk is, we don't know. Hogan got banged up last week. We don't know if Amendola is coming back from his concussion. I don't know what to talk about with him.
No, you'd be wasting time. I get it. Yeah. How about, let's not waste time. Let's get to the Miami Dolphins and Jermaine Kearse and the New York Jets offense.
I think that they can have a good game here. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I've thought about playing Josh McCown in daily fantasy. I mean, he's been good, and we've talked about Josh McCown for a lot over the years. He's a good backup because he can come in and move your offense. He's not shown the ability to stay healthy for long stretches, but he can move your offense. I mean, there are a bunch of offenses right now in the NFL that are worse than the Jets. And that is in large part because Josh McCown gets the ball out quick. And he's been very high percentage. I mean, he's completing like 68% of his throws. They're not long throws for the most part. But he's better than several quarterbacks the teams are trotting out there right now. So I don't know that he ultimately has like big enough upside. But the Dolphins' defense is just going to continue to get torched. I mean, last week, the Chargers couldn't convert in the red zone and they missed a field goal at the end. But Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen did whatever they wanted against. And Hunter Henry went off after not even catching a pass in week one against that defense. The pass defense for the Dolphins is that's something that we're going to be attacking every single week. So, it's hard internally to say Jermaine Kearse is a good fantasy start, but he is because the usage is going to be there and the matchup is there. This could be a game that gets Robbie Anderson going, but I would like to see it from a guy like that first. He's had a bunch of targets and just really, just not happening with Josh McCown. The running game is a three-way timeshare. I mean, they started to get Elijah McGuire involved last week. Can't really use any of those guys in fantasy. And then, the tight end, Austin Seferian Jenkins, back from suspension. This week, I don't know how much usage he's going to get. Is he going to jump right in and play all the snaps? Is he going to start? I think he should, but I don't think that that's, a guarantee. And so I would rather have someone like Ben Watson than him. But if you need tight end help, I mean, you could do much worse than an athletic freak who looked great in the preseason, tore up training camp, had alcohol issues in college and early in his NFL career, got sober. He's still super, super young. I mean, I think he's like 24. He's like the age of a bunch of dudes who like just came out of the draft. Sometimes people go through tough times in their life, and it looks like this dude is really bounced back. And he has every part of his skill set suggests that he can become like a big time NFL tight end. So I think that he's, if he's available in dynasty leagues, absolutely grab him. And I think he has a shot to be a factor in this high percentage Jets passing offense.
What about on the Dolphins side of things?
Dolphins. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I got to look at what the total on this game is. I'm like, the more I think about it, the more I think like it's going to maybe – there's going to be more points than maybe expected. This is going to be the deal with the Jets defense. We're just going to start our guys against them every week. They're a punching bag on defense. Jay Ajayi is going to trample them. Devontae Parker, this is a beautiful-looking blow-up spot for him. Jay Cutler played well against the Chargers. No turnovers. Made some downfield throws. You know, made some great throws on the run. He looks great, man. And he looked very good in the preseason as well. Jarvis Landry had a ton of targets last week, just shattering that narrative that I admittedly bought into coming out of the preseason that, you know, that he was not going to have as big of a role. Jarvis Landry crushed it in the Dolphins season opener. Julius Thomas played a ton of snaps, 65 out of 68 in his first game under reuniting with Adam Gase. Only saw three targets, but, you know, that sort of playing time is not something that we have seen, that we saw at all from Julius Thomas in Jacksonville. And we really even rarely saw it from him in Denver. So I like the fact that he's out there a lot. Again, the usage was not there, but, I mean, this guy can score touchdowns, you know. So I think that he's in the mix, like, as a streamer. And we've talked about a bunch of tight end streamers already. But people need tight end help. You know, Jimmy Graham, we don't know about his health. Greg Olsen out indefinitely. So you got a bunch of good options. We've talked about Austin Seferian Jenkins, Julius Thomas, Zach Miller so far. So, you know, there are a bunch of good options. You know, it's, you know, that you can just grab off the waiver wire and start them, and they're, like, legitimately good starts.
How about the last game for this show, the last 1 o'clock game? It's the Giants and the Eagles. The Giants' offense has been pathetic so far, Evan. Pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – they suck, man. You know, they suck. I would drop Brandon Marshall. Evan Engram has a chance – you know, he's got a shot, but, you know, now he's going up against the Eagles. They're usually pretty good against tight ends, although Travis Kelce, you know, the great Travis Kelce was able to overcome that last week. I wish Odell was healthy because this is a great, great matchup for him. Eli drop. Paul Perkins drop. Vereen, he's leading the Giants in snaps played. Right now, he has the same number of touches as Paul Perkins. I don't know. Maybe they'll give the rookie Wayne Gallman a shot at some point. But we didn't even see anything from him in preseason. You know, he's buried on the depth chart. Maybe they'll give Orleans Darkwa some run. I don't know. You know, I'd use the Eagles defense. On the Eagles side, it would help to know Janoris Jenkins' status. He did not play against the Lions on Monday night. Zach Ertz should be able to shred. Giants, you know, every single year, tight ends against them just crush. That was the case with Eric Ebron in week 2, the case with Jason Witten in week 1. So, you know, awesome spot for Zach Ertz. The Janoris thing really affects Alshon Jeffrey. Carson Wentz has been very, very good so far in both real life and fantasy. You know, using him against the Giants is not very comfortable. You know what you're getting into. You know, he's been playing well. He's an ascending player. He's a top 5 fantasy quarterback so far. But he's going up against a very good defense that, you know, gets elevated if Janoris Jenkins comes back. Aguilar went MIA again last week. Or no, did he score a late touchdown? Am I?
He did. Yep. He scored a late touchdown.
Yeah, he scored a late touchdown, which, you know, kind of amounted to garbage time against Kansas City. You know, I don't want to use him in fantasy, especially against Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, who's been an excellent slot corner. He really kept Golden Tate quiet on Monday night. Golden Tate only had 4 catches for 25. I think that pretty much takes care of this game. Eagles defense.
That was awesome, Evan. That was a feast. That was a meal. The only thing that could have been better, Lantana hummus. It makes for the ideal game day snack. They've got all kinds of flavors. They're all delicious. I never knew. I've always been a hummus fan. Never knew how flavorful and glorious it could truly be until Lantana hummus came into my life. Delicious. Just look for the hummus with the striped lids in the deli or go to lantanafoods.com. That's L-A-N-T-A-N-A foods.com to find Lantana hummus at a grocery store near you. That'll do it, by the way, for today's Fantasy Feast. We will have another one posted for you shortly after midnight. Don't want to mess with the podcast apps. We'll get to the late games, the Sunday Nighter, and the Monday Nighter as well. Other than that, for right now, totally stuffed and totally appreciate those of you that give us those retweets or the likes on Facebook. It really helps. I'm stuffed, though. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar. Because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.